valuable, and it could possibly still be valuable. I'm sorry we've lost it as a diagnostic tool.
Me too. what is the youngest age patient you've ever worked with?
Five.
Could you tell me anything more about your training? I feel like we sort of brushed through that.
Well, it's interesting. My training...
We did that before you got on the air.
My training has... The training that I have formally leading up to a PhD in psychology has absolutely nothing to do with past life therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I, to the best of my knowledge, I can remember learning nothing in a formal classroom that has brought me to develop or to work as a past life therapist. My training for...
Are there any classrooms that teach that?
I've got one.
You've got one.
I think I may have one of the only ones that teach it as basic theory and philosophy. My master's degree was in correctional counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at in juvenile correctional facilities for 5.5 years. And the PhD is in psychology simply because I thought I needed one to get on with what I was doing.
I understand. Okay, could you tell me how long would be an average or a typical length and cost of this treatment?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
I know. I'm speaking as...
I think it would be better that you call his office and
okay.
Get that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure,
thank
give
you.
Us a call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much for that. Now I want to ask you again, have you got your KABC talk radio card?
Oh, yes.
We got it to you this past hour, right? We got to get you one, Morris. Because you have an opportunity to win some terrific prizes from our surprise package. They're there for you, and you can have them. Different times of the day, at night, we'll announce different talk radio card numbers. And if that number is yours and you call the station within a half hour, you can win at least one or two different prizes in the talking about your life and how it has probably been fashioned by your previous lives. And we have, I believe that's Helmy on the line.
Hello?
What's this about the Greek society, hon?
Hello?
Do you remember being in Greece?
Oh, yes, I do.
You do?
I'm calling because I'm going through an experience right now in which I'm writing a paper on... it's a little confusing. On the structure of the symbols in Crete, in pre-patriarchal Crete.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at both the archaeological evidence uncovered by Sir Arthur Evans, who uncovered the Palace of Knossos.
Yes.
And as I was writing this paper, and I'm still in the process of doing it, I've come up with a lot of, I've come with like sort of intuitive understanding of the nature of the religion that existed in the society, and it's not been written about, as far as I can tell, anywhere else. And I feel very connected to the material in a lot of ways, and I really very strongly think that I have had a past life. I have very strong belief in past life, and I've studied quite a lot of it. And I'm not really calling for a response so much as I am just to share my feeling about this.
You want a suggestion?
Yeah.
Set your formal paper aside and just take a great big yellow tablet and about 18 well-sharpened pencils and just start writing. And just don't stop. Just keep writing and keep writing and keep writing and keep writing and just do a stream of thought.
Well, I tell you, before I start writing any of this, I meditate. And I do... tend to come out with like many papers at once, and then not many different pages at a time, and then I sort of stop and look it over and realize what I've come up with.
Right.
And so I don't know if I want to call that automatic writing, but I do definitely feel like I'm connecting with something that happened in my past, and it's very powerful. And I can give you an example of how it's affected me. Ever since I was very little, I have had a favorite name, which is Adriana.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very strange about this name. I've loved it, and I don't know why. And I've never known anybody by that name. Well, the goddess of the culture that I'm studying, her name is Ariadne.
Yes.
Which is just the Greek translation of the name. That's my favorite name. And I don't know. The beauty of it is really, it's very simple in some ways.
Morris, do you find if someone has an affinity, as we discussed, I think, earlier with another young man who had this feeling about Greece, for a specific time period or a culture,
right.
That there is a previous life connection, you think?
Sure. What we look for is just a polarity, something that magnetizes or pulls to that.
Can it work the other way?
Push away?
Yeah, you can
sure
push away.
Can.
Like, for instance, I hate the idea of going to Europe I don't even like the Three Musketeers. You know, that time period just is a total bore to me.
Was the sword sharp?
I don't know. What happened to me there?
I just thought of one question I would like to ask. Is in terms of body therapy, I've heard many times that if you have problems with certain areas of your body, it means one thing. Well, recently I've been very, very weak in the knees, which I have heard is a fear of letting go. And I have astral projected before.
Mm.
And when I...
Another one.
Yes, but my problem, well, when I have astral projected, I've tended to leave my body for very short periods of time and then gotten very afraid of the feeling and rushed right back. And right now I'm filled with a lot of fear about what I'm finding out. I'm excited and I'm so thrilled about this, my connection to this. And at the same time, I feel like I'm afraid to sort of leave the academic. I'm graduating right now. I'm graduating actually in 3 days.
Good.
Pardon me?
Good.
And in some ways I feel like the fact that this is happening now is telling you that I'm leaving the academic and going into the intuitive, and I'm having this sort of graduation of the spirit, in a sense.
Well, it sounds interesting. Why don't you try the suggestion that Dr. Netherton gave you there?
I will.
All right? And thank you very much for sharing that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, Emma. Well, Pocahontas just came in tonight. Share
some. Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, you look like a marvelous Indian princess.
Well, why? Oh, thank you so much. But this is Cinco de Mayo, and I came directly from a Cinco de Mayo party, and I thought this was quite appropriate apparel.
Barbara Essenson is here. Going to be on here in about 20 minutes. What are you doing tonight,
Barbara?
Yes.
Well, we are going to be, first of all, I can see that these wonderful Pocahontas earrings are not going to work with a headset. They're driving me crazy. So it's a wonderful Cinco de Mayo kind of a get up, but not so great for doing a talk show. Our first 2 hours, we're going to be talking about an issue that's been real hot recently, and in my mind it's always been an interesting issue, and it's First Amendment rights and pornography. And we are going to have in studio Carol Sobel from the American Civil Liberties Union, Jim Ferruzzo, a deputy DA, interesting man who, in terms of myself, and I went to Greece for the first time, and we were only going to be in Athens for one day, and so we were, before we went on this cruise, and we were tearing through these museums and sort of doing it because we knew we should. And there was a little room off to the side of the main room in the large museum in Athens. And I said, I really have to go in that room. And I didn't know why I had to go in that room, but I had to go into the room. And we got in there, and it was just one statue in there, and it was the goddess of the hunt, Diana. Now, it was me. She looked like me, or I looked like her. I guess maybe she came first. I'm not really sure. But I couldn't leave that room. There was such a strong tie or feeling, and it wasn't like deja vu. I really didn't feel as if it was an entirely different feeling.
Just
I really
a connection
felt
there.
Tremendous connection.
Familiarity. It happens a lot, doesn't it, Morris?
All the time. I advise people, if you're going to be traveling, especially in Egypt and Greece and those countries, work your stuff out before you go. Because you can come back very depressed and very sick and very frightened. You were lucky. You had a good experience with it.
I had a very good experience, and I wanted to go back. I
wanted
to learn more.
Do you know what we find when people find a statue like that? I'm remembering two people in particular that found the same affinity for the statues of a god. I think there's some doubt that god ever existed in flesh. But what we found was that the person that had the affinity had posed for the statue. When the statue had been done by the artisan, that the ruler had to do it, that person had been chosen from the harem or from the group to sit and pose. And that's what created the affinity.
You may have been standing there scantily dressed many centuries ago,
talking about pornography.
Doing
we always segue, Bill.
Back there. And it came out Diana.
Yeah, well, maybe. Can I ever steal one of your guests to have on my show? Is
sure,
that
you're welcome to them.
Okay, well, I'll talk to the good doctor after.
Okay. Barbara will be along right after the news at midnight. I want you to join her. And we'll be back to Dr. Morris Netherton in just a moment. Kind. Gladys, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much. You have a delightful program tonight.
Thank you.
The question I want to ask is whether or not your guest believes in regression as well as progression as a soul evolves. In other words, is it possible to go from the greater to the lesser? Or must it always, or should it always be from the lesser to the greater?
I will not attempt to speak as any great authority on that. I will only tell you what my theory is and what my findings are.
Uh-huh.
Does a baby begin in the ninth month and go backwards?
No.
It has a progressive, natural, ongoing developmental
uh-huh.
history to it.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you put someone down on the couch in one of these sessions, and at any given point, if you project them forward in time to a what appears to be a lifetime that is yet to come in the year 2050 or whatever,
yeah.
they will come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
They will come up with something that seems very real. However, it is my belief that that is only there as long as their life doesn't change here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that if you do that type of thing, people then start living their life here and now as though that future thing is a reality.
Uh-huh.
And
there's a goal.
Right.
Well, I was progressed once. In fact, I played the tapes on the air. I haven't played all of the tapes into the future. And I was really under a hypnotic or in a tranced state there. I'm quite a storyteller.
Uh-huh.
I got my original information on reincarnation by reading Emmett Fox. And I think he gives a fairly clear, a clear explanation for a person who knows nothing about
right.
reincarnation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to mention the fact, in our family, it was never discussed. I never discussed my belief in reincarnation, although I've had it for many years. But I have a daughter who is now 39 years old. And about 8 years ago, we were driving in the car, and we came, and this was the only time I had ever noticed this. We came to a railroad crossing, and she came to a dead stop. And I said, why? And as calmly as could be, she turned around and said, well, Mother, that's the way I died the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of frightening, wasn't it?
Well, it was startling. And then she saw herself as a child between the age of 5 and 6. And she was walking from one railroad car to another and fell down between the two cars.
Right. She had a recall of it.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very unusual, isn't it, Morris, for that to happen?
And
it's very unusual for someone to be able to verbalize it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's been with her apparently all her life, but I was never aware that she stopped for a real work trip.
Yeah.
Gladys, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
I'm Bill Jenkins. This is Open Mind.
Well, Bill, it's nice to...
Next, David F. Diamond with a message.
A very quick question from you.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Yeah, I just came in and I heard your guest saying that people that were born, I think between 42 and 55, had died during the war or something like that.
Great possibility.
Yeah, I was born in 42, you know, and I am not Jewish and I don't know anything about Europe and I don't know anything about the Holocaust and that. And when I have been real sick or real stressed, I have had really, really strong feelings that I was Jewish and died in a concentration camp.
Mm.
And I've never been into that history at all, and I don't have any information on it. And I just wanted to share that because it was a couple of times before I realized that that is what I was experiencing, and I started telling friends that I believed that I had died in a concentration camp. And it was interesting. I just turned the radio on tonight when you were mentioning those years. Your belief is that I would have reincarnated shortly after my death. Is that it? Morris?
Yes, I would advise you to do some work with that and to sort of see what's happening with it, because that is a very insidious thing. It will not go away in
uh-huh.
most instances. And most of the time we find that people who died in those camps were in great shock and fear and terror, and they came back very quickly as a means of getting some sort of safety for themselves.
Huh. Okay, thanks a lot.
You seem to have the choice of coming back quickly or lingering longer, or do you?
In most instances, yes.
Mm. Dr. Morris Netherton, it has been a delight. Will you come back and do it again with us sometime this fall?
Sure, anytime.
It's a fascinating subject, and I think an important one that people learn to deal with, grasp, and get into. We'll see you next week with Dr. Peebles.